And welcome back, everybody, to SFG Podcast, episode 17. I am your humble and gracious host, Lion Zion 4, a.k.a. Mr. Lion, a.k.a. Coach Lion, c.k.a. Mr. Lion, main supporter of Arsenal FC, the Arsenal FC, the only club in London everybody acknowledges. I'm just going to start. You know, I'm just going to start on my high horse. London's red. Anyways, I am with my co-host, the scruffy one himself, Mr. Sick. Coach Sick, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, bro. How are you, man?
I'm great. I'm on my bully. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. You feel me? This is how I like the energy to be on
gotta,
the pods.
You gotta get a piece of it. I mean, it's not every day. You know what I'm saying? You win a North London derby. Going to the quarterfinals of Europa League, you know, you're on a little bit of a decent win streak.
Exactly.
In the Premier League, you know,
this the energy I'm trying to be on every time we come on this podcast.
Unfortunately, Arsenal doesn't give me the opportunity to do that.
Exactly.
You got to be really on it when it gets to that point. But
that's a fact.
But yeah, man. When we last spoke was episode 16. We did a preview for Olympiacos heading into the round of 16. And I think I called 3-1, right? If I'm not mistaken, I definitely called 3-1.
You did. You got that right.
And lo and behold, you know, when you're right, you're right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I'll give you guys a lot of numbers if you want. 8, 19, 24, 36, 4. All right. So you got to play that and you win. I need my paper snaps. I need a percentage of whoever plays those numbers, and it actually wins the lotto. Cash 3. I mean, you have to call me for that. I can get you. You know what I'm saying? Give me a little DM me. Got you.
You know what I'm saying? You're silly, bro.
SFG does not promote gambling in any sort of shape, way, form. It's copyright. Just do not condone the words that the line is speaking. But yeah, when we last spoke, we did the preview to Olympiacos. We called 3-1, we got 3-1, and then, you know, really, really good momentum heading into the North London derby, which we also won 2-1, and then played the second leg of Olympiacos, which we lost 1-0, which didn't matter because we won on goal aggregate, and are through to the quarterfinals. So a lot of things to get through, a lot of things to discuss today. And I guess we honestly just get right into it, right? 3-1, well. Olympiacos, the first leg at Olympiacos in Greece, playing at the stadium that we had just played in, you know, the round before. Do you think that gave a bit of a competitive edge? I guess. I don't want to say an edge because you're playing at, you know, a stadium where the home team is played all the time. But, I mean, you're familiar with this, with the grass. And I think when we were talking, I was telling you about
it helps a little bit.
Yeah, right? It does? I would say it does if you play the last round.
Definitely.
And,
you
know, and like I said, they know the way that ball bounces. It looked like it was really wet. Like, I don't know if I was – I think we were talking about it. When I was like, when watching the game, the first leg at least, it just looked like it was like the ground. Like, it looked almost waterlogged. Like, it looked – Every time the ball bounced, you can see the splash of the water. Like, it just looked really wet. I don't know if it wasn't raining. I guess it's the way they watered the grass. And you know, professionals like to have the, you know, slick grass. The ball moves. You know what I mean? But it just particularly looked like the surface was more than damp in that sense. But either way, we won the game. Let's get into the lineups. So for the mighty Arsenal, 4-2-3-1 again. All too familiar. Bernd Leno in goal. I think we got most of this right, except for, I think, one part of the starting 11.
Yeah. I don't think we had Smith Rowe starting.
If I'm not mistaken. He didn't start. Right? Smith Rowe didn't start. Willian started.
I'm tripping.
Yeah. Maybe the first
I'm tripping. My fault.
No, the first leg. So we had Bernd Leno in goal.
My bad.
Back four of Hector Bellerin, David Luiz paired with Gabriel and Kieran Tierney on the left. Thomas Partey and Xhaka paired in the midfield with Bukayo Saka on the right, Odegaard in the middle playing the 10 role, and Willian up front. And then a Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang striking as the 9. And the Olympiacos started off with Son goal, Kalala, Socrates, Papastathopoulos, former Arsenal player, which is actually good. You know what?
When he was on Arsenal, his name was getting butchered same way. Right?
Papastathopoulos. Papastathopoulos. Say that five times five. Socrates Papastathopoulos. Good to see Socrates back, man. I've always been a fan of Socrates. I mean, he's one of the few old head signings that we are older veteran signings that I think did what we expected of him. I don't think he did any more. Don't really think he did much less, but he was actually he did what we thought he was going to do. Be a tough tackling, you know, center back, scored a couple goals for us actually. And he had us a couple really good performances, a couple blunders, obviously, when we tried to get him to play out the back. Like, I mean, I don't know why we were thinking Socrates was going to be that type of center back, but that didn't happen, clearly. Mistakes from against Watford and things like that that caused goals. But he was who we thought he was, you know what I mean? He served us well during a time where we needed it. I mean, we didn't have much better during those times. So, interesting, though, that he's paired with Yan and Vila, who was signed for Arsenal every transfer window from 2012 to 2019 or 18.
He usually, obviously, if you know him, he's usually their defensive mid.
He's a CDM, but he had to play center back, right?
Yeah, I think their center back either got a red. No, he didn't get a red card. I think he picked up an injury like the week before or something like that.
Okay, so he
had to miss this game. They actually were talking about that. Before the game, because they were saying how Mvia had to drop off and play center back for them when he's not really, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was always able to do that, though, right? They always said
I think he's definitely a hard tackler, so it definitely helps to, you know. And he reads the game pretty well, so I think he could do a decent job at.
I always wondered how he would have did at Arsenal. I mean, considering the blunders we've had at defensive mid and CDM. I mean, at center back.
I feel like he would have been okay.
I mean, who knows?
Would have been okay.
Who knows?
Because you know we needed you know the hard nosed tackler and
facts
somebody that can help us break up
big facts
break up the other team's plays, but. My thing would be, how would he look when we actually started to knock the ball?
Yeah.
That's true. My thing.
True. No better than Francis Coquelin, I feel like. So, I mean, who knows? Who really knows? So, rest of their team, Bruma on the right. You remember Bruma used to play for, I think he's on loan from PSV, Eindhoven.
Yeah, he was at Leipzig the year before.
For a little while, yeah, Portuguese player. Not a bad guy. I think he's like 25, 26. I remember when he was a younger guy. I think he was touted to be a big player, and you know, Olympiacos right now. Matthew Valbuena, remember that name? Playing behind El Arabi too as well. El Arabi used to play in the Premier League, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, this is a team. I mean, Olympiacos not a bad team. I mean, they're a decent outfit for the Europa League, but. I mean, I think from minute number one, the game just seemed to have been going our way. And I think it always looked like we would win the game, especially after the first goal. So I guess we can get straight to it. 34 minutes in, Martin Odegaard, welcome to, you know, Arsenal, right? Big goal outside the box with the left. I mean, the kid, he looks like he's getting better and better by the game. Would you say? I think you could say that, right?
Yeah. And for me, though, like, I feel like he's a player that, like, he needs the game time when he was playing for, you know, Madrid, he wasn't looking the same, but it's because he wasn't getting the game time that he deserved. Yeah. Well, I can't say deserved, but that he needed to kind of get comfortable and
I mean, I agree with you. I think I think he, you know, it's like you said, I don't think he deserved it. I'm not gonna say he deserved the running time, but like, you know, eventually you saw that was gonna happen, right? Like it was going to happen. So yep. I mean, he needs to develop still, just like a lot of our great players, just like Saka, just like, you know, Smith Rowe. You know, they see there's still holes in both, in all of their games. But
yeah,
they're at the point now where you only fix those holes by playing them, right? Like, there's no, let's give him some time. Like, you got to play these guys. Sorry about that. You got to play these guys in games like this, big games going forward. I think you need to now rest your players around Europa League, right? So, like, the Premier League games, like, we're going to be playing Chelsea soon, Liverpool, United. I think those games, I don't mind seeing Willian play those games. I don't want to see Willian starting in the quarterfinals and semifinals, you know, God willing, the semifinals and finals of Europa League. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I need us to see Odegaard. I need to see Emile Smith Rowe on the left. I need to see Saka on the right. And I need to see whoever you want to play up front, if it's Aubameyang or Lacazette. It has to be one or two of them. Yeah. And before the goal, even I forgot, before the goal, I mean, Aubameyang had chances, plenty of chances. In the fifth minute, I think we hit the post. Their goalkeeper made a big save off of a header attempt from Aubameyang. I think, you know, David Luiz had a free kick or something like that. And I mean, we had been, you know, we had chance after chance after chance after chance. I think Aubameyang had another free kick that went straight to the goalkeeper, right outside the 18. So we know, and then he had one other one that was blocked in almost in the six. So we were going at them until the Odegaard goal. But you know, I hate to bring up the Ozil comparisons too soon, right? Because, you know, he's wearing the number and he's playing in the same role. I mean,
well,
He's not wearing 11? I thought he was wearing 11.
Yeah, Ozil was.
I mean, he was 11 before he was 10. He was 11 and then became 10, remember?
Yeah, but when Ozil was number 11, that's when he was snapping.
That's what I'm trying to compare them to that. You know what I'm trying to compare? Yeah, you know,
I don't want you to do that.
So I know I'd hate to do it. I hate to do it. However, we got our old number 10 on the sidelines of Fenerbahce wasting away at the end of his career. While we have
Damn, bro. The man got injured, bro. Just chill, bro. I'm not about to let you disrespect the man.
It wasn't exactly man-of-the-match performances, was it?
Okay.
In
the
Turkey.
The man hasn't played in a year and a half, damn near, bro. Come on, bro. It doesn't matter, bro. He hasn't played in a year and a half.
He's training. He's been training in a year and a
half. Dog, stop.
So you're telling me he needs time to acclimate?
You're being unreasonable, dog. Come on, stop.
He needs time to acclimate himself.
Nah, you're being unreasonable, bro.
Ozil's been playing professional football for over a decade.
You're being unreasonable, bro. Doesn't matter, bro. And you know you need game time minutes, bro. Come on,
we don't have to get into it.
You're being silly, though. Rusty's one thing.
Rusty's one thing. He wasn't just rusty. He wasn't playing good.
You didn't watch him play. You don't know that, bro.
I looked at the numbers. Oh my God. The numbers didn't look good. Okay, so let me say.
All right. We're moving on.
The numbers didn't look good. And then he got hurt. Anyways, yeah, we got Martin Odegaard numbers now.
But okay.
We have Odegaard. We have the younger, better right now. For right now, we can
stop comparing.
We can justifiably say Odegaard's a better number 10 right now than Ozil is right now. We can say that. So I'm glad. I say that to say this. I'm glad that we have upgraded the position. I'm glad. I'm happy.
Okay.
Not just with Odegaard, but Emile Smith Rowe can play there. I think between the two of them, you have now solved your problems in that 10 role. Because, like, you know, depending upon what formation you play, they can play on the 10. They can play out wide. You have guys now that you know, even out wide can play as like kind of an inverted, you know, winger. You have a lot of options, and I think that was a big question going into Ozil leaving. Like, him, once Ozil left, it was like, okay, now we have no choice. We have to upgrade the position. What are we going to do? And I think being that we got him on loan, and then the emergence of, I mean, before the loan, the emergence of Emile Smith Rowe, you were able to answer those questions. So regardless of Ozil, whatever he's doing, the comparisons, whatever, you can throw that all out the window. My point is that I think, you know, with all the rumors about Odegaard and whether he will come back or whether if a deal would happen, I think
spend the money.
You spend the money. Whatever you do, I don't. It's too early to talk about money. It's too early to talk about if it's a loan, what the price is going to be. I don't even want to talk about that. I think right now we can all objectively say though that we want him, right?
Yep. I know the first report that I read, they were saying it was like 40 mil or something like that.
Yeah, but that number is going to change. I mean, in March, nobody knows what that number is. He could. Yeah, God forbid, he could get hurt tomorrow. And it can stay there, or maybe he scores 8 more goals till the end of the season, and then Madrid 180 million or 60 million. You know what I'm saying? Or he doesn't, plays bad. I mean, who knows? The market goes up and down, just like, you know, the real market. So whatever their price is, for me, I think it's subject to change.
I think he needs to get bought, honestly, because I like, and I don't say this just because obviously I want him to come to my team, but I don't see him going back to Madrid now and you know, kind of cementing a spot like he wants.
True.
Like I think he goes there and he's going to be, you know, kind of on the bench again, because you know they still have the Iscos, they still have the Modrics, the Cruces. True. So it's like
very true.
Unless they decide to kind of clean ship and you know kind of rebuild. I don't see him, you know, kind of being a starter for that team.
Yeah, I mean that's all really up to, you know, what happens in the summertime. But as of right now, I think we all can agree that we want him for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and I think that's solely based on Zidane, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I just don't think he prefers Odegaard. So, yeah. But you know, that's another story,
combo, right? Yeah. So let's move on. Let's move on into the game. So we're up 1-0. Then we have a substitution. Second half. We're just gonna go straight into the second half. 55th minute. Partey comes out. Ceballos comes in. Weird game for Partey. He was just still kind of getting his footing, and you know, it wasn't a bad game, but I think it's.
I thought he did pretty good.
I thought he played pretty well, honestly. Too. And I think a lot of people were kind of saying.
I was a little upset that he came out.
Yeah, I kind of was too. I think you're resting him for the derby.
I get that, but I still think he could have did another 10, 15 minutes.
I agree. Maybe it's the bubble wrap thing. You know, who knows.
Yeah.
But either way, three minutes after coming on, you know, it's bottle crazy, job bro. FC happens, right? Gabriel gets in all fairness, I wish I could have seen more of the play, because Xhaka plays the ball back to Gabriel at a time where, looking at it, he could have went forward. And I said, I don't blame this goal at all on Xhaka, because it's what happens after that. That I'm more concerned about. Gabriel goes back to Leno. Leno, for some reason, is 5 yards outside of his 18, right? And there's three Olympiacos players in our half of the field. I don't know why. Not only are you outside of your 18, you're like on the right side of the 18. Like, it's weird. I don't know what you're doing there, but whatever. So he gets the ball. Two players start to close him down. Ceballos is in the middle of the two players, right behind them. And Leno decides to play it to Ceballos, which I think El Arabi is like hoping and praying that Leno plays this ball to Ceballos so he can go and close Ceballos down. Ceballos then tries to get around him. It looks like a La Croteca attempt that gone horribly wrong. And El Arabi now has the ball. Leno is now 8 yards outside of his scrambling back to get into his goal. And Robbie does the right thing and puts it away outside the box. 1-1, and we're just thinking, what the hell is going on?
Not again.
Now, unlike the goal from against Burnley, where I still place most of the emphasis and blame on Xhaka, Leno. Yeah, I think Leno's 100% to blame here. I think with Leno, here's the thing about Leno. I think Leno's one of the best 1v1 goalkeepers in Europe.
Martinez.
Let's not do that. let's not do that. Martinez is like, okay. Hey, he's made his fair share of mistakes too. Don't get it twisted.
Honestly,
we're gonna have
this discussion at the end of the season when we do
end of the season
when we talk about the over, even still, we
still have to take that in a grain of salt because you know West Ham. I mean, we're gonna talk about that later. Again, we're not even gonna talk about that right now. My point to you is, Leno, I think, is one of the best 1v1 goalkeepers in Europe.
Agreed.
Personally.
Agreed. I can never disagree with that.
And I think that I would bet on him in one-on-one situation over a lot of goalkeepers. However, I think he's also one of the best shot stoppers, just pure shot stoppers too as well in Europe. I think 1v1, I would say, is top five, maybe top three. But as a shot stopper, I would put him in the top 10 for sure in Europe. I'm not a goalkeeper. I know about goalkeepers. I've studied goalkeepers for a little bit. I like the position, but I can't say I'm an expert in goalkeeper or goalkeeping. But from what I can perceive from the top goalkeepers I've seen, I think Leno's up there, right? Decision making. I think that's the biggest issue with Leno is his decision making. I think his feet are good. I don't think his feet are bad. I wouldn't say they're elite, right? But I think his feet are good. I think it's good enough to play in the system that Arteta wants him to play in, for sure. I think he definitely can do that. But he makes bad decisions, or he makes rash decisions.
Agreed.
And I think, you know, with the red card when he ran out and did the, you know, the flying fish or whatever that was, like, or whatever that was. I don't know what he was trying to do, but when he did that, and I, you know, got the red card, you know, it's just decisions. His decision making is just terrible, terrible decision making, and that's what happened. Boot the ball out, bro. There's two guys within 5 yards of you. Boot the ball out because you were not looking at the rest of the situation because you didn't see the guy that's right behind Ceballos, which is why Ceballos couldn't turn the other way, right? You didn't see that. That El Arabi has already known, already he's already on high press mode. So he already knows what his job is, right? He already knows exactly who he's going to. So just kick the ball out. Just clear it, boot it 80 yards to out the stadium. I don't care. But just we don't have to do, and Arteta said in the interview too a couple weeks back or whenever that our back line, our goalkeepers need to know when to clear it and when to play it. That's totally up to them. It's not, Arteta can't shout at you and tell you each time. You know, your coach can't sit, your manager cannot tell you every single time you should be playing at the back or every single time you should be playing the ball, right? So He's got it. He has to be better. He has to make better decisions. I think as a goalkeeper, his skill set is top level. I think it's top level. His skills, the things that we can measure, but the decision making has to get better with Leno. I think if that gets better, you can call him a world class goalkeeper. I think he's right there. I think he's one of the best goalkeepers in England and in Europe. But to put him in that world class, that Emmanuel Noor, that you know Jan Oblak, that Ederson, just that class. Liverpool's goalkeeper, like to put him up there with those guys, I think he needs to make better decisions. And I think that would make him better. Because I think 1v1, I think he's right up there with those guys. Right up there, personally. I've seen some 1v1 situations that I don't know how we didn't get scored on. And it's like once a game, almost. You know what I mean? And that's, that speaks more to our back line and how we're so able to fold. But I think it's almost because we depend on Leno so much. And I think that is a big difference between him and a lot of these other keepers that we compare him to. A lot of those other keepers don't face the amount of shots that Leno faces, I think. And I think even just clear 1v1 situations, Leno gets faced in a lot of those. And I think he has saved a lot of points for us in that regard. So, So it just needs to be better decision making. Anything to add to that?
No, man. I agree. I think if he can work on his decision making, he definitely will start to get into that next tier of goalkeepers. But I do agree he is one of the best one-on-one shot stoppers, you know, in the world. to this day. Like you said, his feet are good, but they're not great. I think he can still work on it a little bit, but you know, that'll come with a little bit more experience in the system that Arteta's playing. I think it'll force him to get his feet a little bit better. But yeah, man, I agree with what you said. If he fixes those little small things, I think he can definitely have a chance of getting into that next tier of goalkeepers.
He's 29, right? He's that old? I didn't even
know.
I thought
he was like 27, 28.
28 too. I mean, he just turned 29 15 days ago.
Oh, okay. So, okay, that makes sense.
So he's 92. I mean, you know, so I would say this is his prime right now, right? Right, this
yeah, I'd say so.
30,
yeah.
Most goalkeepers get in their prime within the 30s, you know. And I think in terms of just knowing the game, learning the game, learning angles, things like that.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the best is still yet to come with him. I think he's you're seeing his best, but he can get to another level, definitely. Anyways, so 1-1, and about not too long after. 78th minute, we get a corner kick, and we play it short, which I don't always love, but we end up going short. Odegaard is the one that started short. Willian actually plays a ball back post to Gabriel. Willian, another assist. Gabriel just towers over. Hey, Gabriel has that right in his bag now. We can say that now, right? Because this is like his
he scored maybe one or two like
power
this
header.
Already. Maybe
you know what
two,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like FIFA, if you guys don't have the power header icon for Gabriel, I think now he deserves it. Because I mean,
but then again, that man is like 6'3".
He's 6'3".
So
yeah, he's like 6'3". But still, that's all the more reason, right? There's a lot of guys like that that aren't jumping, that aren't leaping like that. He had to go get that. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like that. He jumped and the ball hit him in the head. You know, and he closed his eyes and wished. Nah, he ran up, jumped over. Was it Yan and Vila? Yep, jumped over Yan and Vila. They had to check on VAR because they thought it was a foul or something. But nah, he ran over. It said far post. And power, I mean, just looped it over the goalkeeper to make it 2-1. And then the boys came in. Emile Smith-Rowe comes on for Odegaard, it looked like. Pepe comes on. Saka came off. I like the fact that we're not playing Saka 90 minutes anymore every single game. Like, I'm glad that we're starting to rest him, starting to get Pepe into the rotation. And then Elneny comes on. And then a couple minutes later, speaking of bangers, Mohamed, don't call me Salah, Elneny, decides, you know what? I'm going to call game real quick. And 20 yards out. That's another, I mean, he has this in his bag now, right?
I wouldn't even say now, bro. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
About Elneny,
most of his goals, if not all of, yeah, I was gonna say, if most of his goals, if not all of them, have all been
bangers. 30, bangers all been, like that. I think they've all been outside the box.
Yeah, outside the box shots.
I remember his first goal against Barca that nobody talks about.
Barca, yep.
Outside, I was close to outside the box. I think it went upper 90, all right, or he just tucks it into the corner. Granted, you know, we don't want to talk about that tie because that didn't, you know, but. earlier in the year too, against I think it was a Molde, was it? Or I don't remember who it was. That he's banged that one upper 90 from outside the box, and then this one hits it upper 90, not upper 90, but hits it outside the box. It puts a little swaz on it. And 3-1 sitting pretty. Arsenal FC, you know.
So let me ask you one quick question, not to get up. Well, I guess it's on topic, but it's off topic. Do you give him another contract?
Elneny? I think – here's what I think. I think there's a list, right? There's a depth chart. And I think if we go by what's more important, I don't think you even look at Elneny's contract until the smoke clears. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is one of the last contracts I am looking at. Because you have Lucas Torreira on loan, you have his situation to get. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just giving you a list of people that you need to take care of before you think about it.
I got you.
Right. So Matteo Guendouzi, Lucas Torreira, Joe Willock, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who was a center mid on Wednesdays, right? Who else? There's a couple other guys I'm thinking of. You got to figure out what you're doing with Danny Ceballos. You know, you got to feel like you got to see what you're doing. I mean, even Aziz, the young kid. I mean, like, so because that's really the question, right? If you do sell Elneny, I think you gotta push him up, right, Miguel, right? So you gotta think about that. You got to. I mean, there's four or five people. I think you need to figure out what you want to do with them first. And if the dust settles and we're short, then yes, extend Elneny, because Elneny does exactly what you want him to do. Now, with that being said, just to start, you go. Would I keep Lucas Torreira over Elneny? Yes, I think Lucas Torreira is probably a better player, right? Overall, however, if he's gonna make us more money, then yeah, go. Right. So if it comes down to it, and he wants to leave, then yes, let him go. Guendouzi, I would 100% keep Guendouzi over Elneny. However, same situation, he's personal gone. Reasons. If he wants to go or if he has to go, then he goes. Whatever goes. But like, you see what I'm saying though. Take care of the guys that you'll take care of first, even though they're better than Elneny. I think you have to figure that stuff out first, and then once that happens and the dust clears, if we went from seven center mids to four, you know what I'm saying, on the roster, and because remember we're still supposed to sign another center mid, right? So if we're still supposed to sign another center mid, and then we end up doing that, and then we have space for Elneny, then I think you keep him. I think you keep him for another season. I would put it this way: I would rather keep Elneny for a season if that meant that we could put Joe Willock on loan again. You see what I'm saying? Like, I would rather do that. I would rather do that. He's 28. I'd rather do that because what's the point in selling Elneny because of Joe Willock, for instance, and then you have to end up setting Joe Willock back on loan because he can't start. He's going to need that loan. I think he's getting better and better every game in Newcastle. I think they love him over there in Newcastle, right? So if he can take another loan and they stay and he takes another, why not? If that means you can keep Elneny,
not looking too good for them though.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, they can stay up, then maybe. You know, if they don't stay up, then fine. Matter of fact, y'all pay us for that loan then. If that's the case, give us a couple mil, and then he'll help y'all get back up. You see what I'm saying? So I mean, my point though is, if the dust settles and there's space for Elneny, yes, I think you keep him. I think he's a solid squad player. I think considering, you know, best case scenario, we win Europa League and we go in Champions League next year, that's all the more reason, because that means that he needs to be playing more Premier League games. He'll be playing more FA Cup games. You know what I'm saying? And he keeps you need a guy like that. You definitely need a guy like that. He could be, you know, our great value, James Milner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? He could be the Aldi version of James Milner. So if that's the case, why not? Swiss Army Knife can play a bunch of, can play across the back line. You know, he played left back before, he's played center back. I don't see why I would definitely keep him. I definitely keep him if we're able to retain him. If that meant that we could, if it's between him and Joe Willock, send Joe Willock back on loan, 100%. And so that was the game. I think great win, definitely a very good win by the Arsenal. Set us up nicely for the second leg, and also good momentum going into the North London Derby. Who did you have as your man of the match for that game?
I honestly think I'm gonna go with Odegaard, man.
Yeah, I think I was thinking that too.
He was very lively.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think and of course, obviously to get that goal. Whew.
Big goal. Big goal. Really good goal. Yeah, big goal.
But I definitely would. I think I'm gonna end up giving it to him. Honestly.
Yeah, I would go with him too. I think think he had the highest rating, I think, according to Who Scored, if I'm not mistaken. let me just read what I had on his stats. 90% pass accuracy, 4 key passes, 4 shots, 1 on target, 79 touches. You know, that sounds like a pretty good game for a number 10. 2 dribbles, was not dispossessed at all during the game. Very good numbers for your number 10, your attacking players. 2 interceptions, 2 total tackles. I mean, he's growing into it for sure. Definitely growing into it. When one long wall that was accurate. Yeah, I think a very good game by him. I think before the mistake, I think Gabriel would probably be second to me, because before that goal, he had a very good game.
He was fine, really. Yeah,
91% pass accuracy. I mean, he's another one. Every game is getting better. Every single game. I honestly think it's going to be between him and Pablo Mari to take that left-sided center back spot. And then, you know, once we get smart enough to buy that real right-sided center back. But I think Gabriel,
you know, or we could just use that guy that's on loan, you know, that went back to
Mavropanos. I mean, we'll talk about it.
No, the other guy.
Oh, you mean Saliba? No. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Does he play for Arsenal still? I
don't know. Nah, according to him, he's never played for Arsenal. So he's not on the team. He's not one of the French greats.
You know, we got to talk about it one time. You know, it has to be one time. You know those drinking games? I was like, if they say one word, you got to drink. I think Saliba has to be. That would be our drinking game. Just listen to the SFG pod. How many times it says Saliba, you got to take a shot. But but yeah, I mean, we'll see. But I definitely think Gabriel is coming into his own. And like I said, going, you know, good momentum heading into the North London Derby, which we're going to speak about right now. Actually, let me see where we are on time. 36. Okay, good. Yeah, so North London Derby, Arteta versus Mourinho. Mourinho, we all know the comments he made in the news in the British Times Evening Standard about how he doesn't look down the Premier League table. He looks up, which I find interesting, because, you know, they're sinking by the day. So
yeah, literally.
But yeah, you're not gonna say anything. Let's look at the lineup.
Typical Mourinho.
Oh, typical. Yeah, Mourinho. Typical Mourinho. Lineup for let's start with Tottenham. They went 4-2-3-1. Hugo Lloris in goal. Matt Doherty. Yikes! Somebody call and check on that guy. He had a nightmare against us.
He was destroyed.
Tyranny was just not even Smith Rowe, both of them. Tyranny,
well, yeah, Smith Rowe, both of them. Oh, yeah, both of them
were. Yikes! I mean, I did. I almost felt. Davinson Sanchez, who's always a good for a yellow card against us. Tubby Alderweireld, paired with him, and Reguilon, who's actually not that bad either, but he was had a pretty quiet game too on the left.
Yeah.
Højbjerg and Ndombele in the double pivot. Didn't expect that. Although Ndombele has been playing a lot since they patched things up, I guess.
Yeah, he's been playing really good too.
So I will say this. When I saw this on paper, the front four, I was like, okay, they might be coming to play. Bale on the right, Lucas in the middle in the 10, and Son on the left, and then Harry Kane up front. So this looked like a strong side. A very, very, very strong Spurs team. And so go to us, Leno in goal, Cedric starting at right back. Was surprised to see that, but actually was kind of happy. Cedric at right back, David Luiz and Gabriel pairing again. Tierney on the left, Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka in the double pivot with Saka on the right, Odegaard in the 10, and Emile Smith Rowe on the left. And a surprise addition, rather a surprise omission of Aubameyang, Lacazette starting in the 9. So we found out that before the game, Aubameyang was late to a pre-match meeting, and was dropped for the derby. Real quick, what are your thoughts on that?
I thought it was really good, man. I like that. I feel like he handled that really well.
Me too.
Nobody's bigger than Arsenal. So
facts. You know, and as a captain, you know, you gotta.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. As a captain, you gotta do a little bit better than that, Aubameyang. So, obviously, we admire what you're doing right now. But at the end of the day, you're our captain right now, so you can't be our leader and you're showing up late. So I think he did a really good job by, you know, setting an example. And good thing it paid off. I mean, obviously, it paying off is even better.
For sure.
If it didn't pay off, everybody would have been looking like, yo, he was only late. You can't freaking not start him for a North now, London Derby.
With that being said, though, before I found out about that, I thought that maybe he was just starting Lacazette. I mean, Lacazette has a very good Derby record against.
Yeah.
And I think he has a better goal scoring record,
if anything,
against the top six.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. So I just feel like he would have started both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, right now, it looks like it's better to just start one or the other. Just right now. I personally think in big games, you should start both of them, personally. But it's like, who do you take out? You know,
the thing is growing day by day. The thing with me is you know, with the front four, well, with the three behind, either one of the two is what makes us play so well right now, because the three young players, they do the extra bit of running, they find the pockets really well, and you know, they have that hunger because they want to be a starter. As like the younger player on the team, you know, obviously they're gonna do the extra bit to keep their position, or not, you know, get subbed off first. So I feel like the way those three are playing right now is exceptional. I feel like they are kind of what's making us, you know, play the way we're playing. And with that being said, we definitely have to start resting Saka.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
and to be fair, I don't think he's played 90 minutes, you know, in a while. I think it's been a couple games, so that's good. I mean, the last three games he hasn't played 90 minutes, and I don't think he played 90 minutes against Burnley. So that's about four games that he hasn't.
Well, he played 90 minutes against Burnley.
He did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe outside, maybe from Burnley on, I think he hasn't played 90 minutes. So that's
a nah. About he's been one, playing 90 two, minutes.
Three. That's three games.
He played. He didn't play Leicester.
I'm saying from Burnley on, he hasn't played 90 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So Olympiacos, Tottenham.
Well, yeah, Olympiacos. But he got hurt. He would have played 90 in the Tottenham game, I feel like.
He got hurt.
If he didn't pick up, yeah, that's why he didn't play in this last game.
Oh, okay.
That's why he came out. He came out halftime.
Play. I think he didn't play because we were going to rotate regardless. I mean, we're up 3-1.
He put out a strong team.
But I think Pepe was.
I don't think Pepe starting if Saka is 100%.
I don't know against this in this game. I think he's starting to give Pepe some. I think he's starting to finally give Pepe some burn though, because we talked about it. We talked about him.
Yeah,
not
but Willian's
getting the start
still starting over him.
Yeah, but Pepe's playing on the right now. You know what I'm saying? Pepe's been featuring more on the right than before. Remember we had that conversation about Willian, and we were saying it's between Saka and
Willian is on the other side.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So
he wants to
it's
start
been,
his boy.
It's been that's what I'm saying. So it's been between Saka and Pepe the last month or two. So I'm saying if Saka plays, like you rarely see Saka and Pepe on the field together because they're both playing on the right now. So if you see it, more than likely it's Saka gonna be starting on the right or Pepe. On the left, you're gonna see Willian, Emile Smith Rowe, or Aubameyang, more than likely, or maybe Gabriel Martinelli, which we finally saw, you know. So and it rarely a rare sighting of Martinelli. So I think Arteta had. I think being that we're up 3-1, I think he was gonna start Pepe regardless. But who knows? I mean, like the injury, like you said, with the injury, now we don't know because obviously now you have to play him, right? So. I don't know if the injury was that bad, though, because he was on the bench, right? So he wasn't on the bench?
Mm-mm.
I thought he was on the bench against I could be wrong. Actually, no, he wasn't on the bench.
He wasn't.
Oh, all right. So then maybe the injury was worse than we thought. But I think the thought would have been to play him, considering we were up 3-1. But let's go back to the Tottenham game. So he did a lineup. Lacazette started. Then an injury to Son. Thank God, you know, and nothing inside. I hope a speedy recovery for him, just as long as it's not against us. The injury from Son early on gets Eric LaMelo on the field, who is a player that I always disliked. I just never liked. Never liked him at all. I always thought he was a waste man. Thought he was poor man's Quaresma. I just, you know, claimed the fame was the Rabona, and then he scores a Rabona. Like, what? Not only does he score a Rabona, he scores the Rabona. Like, through the wickets of Thomas Partey, side netting. I mean, and we go down 1-0.
It's crazy, out of nothing, too.
We're out of absolute, against the run of play. Game. You know, the first, I mean, we were at the races against them. And I wouldn't say I was confident in the game, because I was telling some people that, you know, the morning of, that, you know, depending upon Tottenham's team and, you know, who they play, you know, maybe we squeak a victory. I knew we would score, but I knew we were gonna concede. That's what I thought. So I said, you know, if they score first, then who knows? But we have a history of beating Tottenham when they score first anyways. So, you know, I was concerned. But then when Son came out, I was like, oh, you know, not only were we playing good, but then Son got out, you know? So I thought, you know, oh, okay, I think we're going to take it to them now. And, you know, LaMelo out of nowhere scores the goal of his life, the second Rabona of his career, which is crazy. But and we go down 1-0. The good thing about that, though, is that you didn't see a sense of panic with the team, right? Before, you used to see that. We would go down, and then we concede, and then it's like the heads go down and things like that. And I think, when the goal scored, I think you saw that everybody was ready to kind of get back in. Like, yeah, you saw the goal, it was amazing, whatever, whatever. You were in shock for a second, like, did that just happen? And then all of a sudden, you know, we're just back at it. You know what I mean? Because we had chances. We had early chances. I think Lacazette had a decent chance in the first. I think Saka or Tierney played the ball, and it was a quick one. He tried to get his side foot to it or whatever, and, you know, before the goal happened. We had chances, right? And I don't think we necessarily played bad. We just, you know, chances happened, came and went. And we were controlling the game, though, definitely. You could definitely see that we were controlling the game, whether it was possession or you could definitely see that we were taking to them. We were taking the game to them. So after the goal got scored, the 33rd minute going into the, you know, halftime, I think Spurs kind of looked at it like, okay, we go up 1-0 at half. We're in great shape considering the odds. But, you know, 10 minutes later, Matt Doherty meets Kieran Tierney and sees a clean pair of heels real quick. And, you know, Tierney plays another exquisite cross to the penalty spot, which, I mean, at this point, like, isn't that not on the scouting report? Like, how is that not on the scouting report for Tottenham? Like, yo, Tierney loves going down the line and loves a penalty spot cross. Like, he loves an early ball to the penalty spot. How do you guys not know this by now? Like, he, and don't get me wrong, Tierney has it all in his bag. You know, near post, far post, penalty box, driven, not driven. Like, he has it. He has a plethora of crosses in his bag, right? We can say that.
My thing, I feel like it's easier, you know, said than done.
Oh, 100%. As a left back, him, and, you know, as a part of the left back committee, Kieran Tierney, let me go on the soapbox. I don't want to cut you off, right? But let me go let me get on my soapbox real quick. I wish I had the sip the juice song in the background. But when we signed Kieran Tierney, I said, maybe not on this podcast, but I said that I think he could become the best left back in the Premier League in a couple
you
years.
You spoke about that.
Yeah, we spoke about it. And I've been saying this for some time now. I said that I thought that he was going to be a better version of Robertson. I thought that his feet could be better than Robertson, because Robertson, his feet doesn't have great feet either. They're not elite, not, you know, Davies or Alaba or Marcelo, right? But it's good enough. It's good enough. Robertson's feet are good enough to get him the assist. And plus, he's playing with a world-class front three that he just kind of puts a ball in that area and they score, right? But with that being said, I think I always said I thought he was better defensively. I thought that Tierney, you know, within once he gets himself acclimated to the Premier League, I think he could be one of the best left backs in the Premier League and become one of the elite left backs in the world. And I think right now you can see that because of how heavily defiant, heavily dependent we are on him, right? The team when Tierney's out of the team looks very different, very very different. Mainly because of the overloads that we play, but he complements the team so well. At 23 years old, I think the sky's the limit with this guy, and I think his feet will get better because those are things you can develop. You can technically get better. You can get better technically on the ball. What you can't do, you can't coach his speed, right? You can't coach his ability. His natural ability to get past players. I think you can't coach his eye for finding players in the box. Whether because it's not just the fact that he can play those balls, right? It's not the fact that he can just play the penalty box pass, the driven cross, the low one, the high one, the second post. It's the fact that he makes good choices. It's the fact that he plays those balls, because a lot of guys can do it, but they'll play the near post ball when no one's there, when everyone's back post. The back post ball, everybody's near post. The far post ball, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that he can pick out those passes and he knows where his teammate is, he's a good, keen sense of awareness to find his teammates, is incredible. And I think he is, we are very far from seeing the best of him. Because I think once he really gets the Premier League tempo and once he starts to gain more confidence in not only 1v1 situations, but in small spaces, then technically he'll become better on the ball too. I think that's going to happen. So, I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy. And I'm happy to see that, you know, that to see his development. Because, like I said, at 23 years old, I mean, give him 3 years in the Premier League. You know what I'm saying? I think you're already looking at one of the best left backs in the world right now. I think you're looking at a top 10 left back in the world for sure right now, in my opinion. I think he can move up into the top 5 ranks very soon.
Yeah, man. I think in England, him and Shaw are definitely going crazy right now at the left back position, to be honest with you. And Shaw's, I don't know, that man been on a mission lately.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't really rate Shaw as much anymore since the injury.
I know.
You know, I don't, for my personal reasons. But I can't say that he hasn't been performing, because he has. He's definitely been performing. I think that, you know.
He's been on another level.
He's been, I think he's
on another level right now.
I think Kieran Tierney?
Yeah, him and Tierney. For me, I think him and Tierney are neck and neck right now. The way they're
performing. So I wouldn't say another level. I'd say they're both in the same level.
Yeah, but they're both playing on another level right now.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were saying that he's on another level.
Because
when you said he's on another level, Okay.
Well, yeah, I was talking about both of them.
Oh, okay, okay. Gotcha. My apologies.
They're both playing right now at a ridiculous level, and obviously, if we were higher up in the table, I feel like it would be not even a discussion about those two. Well, obviously, Shaw is up there.
Well, Shaw's, yeah.
They're the second. And, like, for us, it's just, obviously, he's putting in these crazy crosses, and we have players that are not putting the ball in the back of the net. So it's like,
yeah, exactly.
You know. If we were at a higher table, if we were higher up in the table, obviously that would mean that he would probably get more assists because we'd be scoring half the crosses that he's giving.
And I think that's the reason why Shaw's numbers look so good. I don't want to say that. And not, the thing, he's not,
you know
he's
me
not,
though,
you know.
Like I'm not a numbers guy.
Yeah,
I like to.
Yeah.
I watch the games.
More of a numbers guy. You yeah.
I watch more sure. of the games, so like I don't really like. Sometimes the numbers are a little bit misconstrued, because you know obviously this man, somebody can be putting in crazy amount of crosses and their team just not finishing, so like now he has nothing to show for all his hard work that he just did. So I'm not always a numbers guy. Obviously, the numbers, you know.
Numbers don't tell this whole story. You got to have the eye test too. And like you said, I think considering the fact that we just Shaw's on 5 goals in the Premier League right now, and I mean 5 assists, and I think that's right behind. I think he's tied with Robertson. Yeah, Robertson has 5, and he has 5. I think Cresswell leads the Premier League in assists for defenders. He has 7.
Who, crazy. Who does?
Aaron Cresswell, who's another one that doesn't get a lot of talk to. He's a guy I wanted before Tierney. And then Lucas Digne. He from France.
From Everton, yeah.
Baller.
Yeah, actual he is baller. Really good.
He has great feet. He's on 6 assists. So, you know. And then you got Ben Chilwell at 4. I mean, Trent with 3, which is terrible for Trent, considering. But I wouldn't say terrible, but, you know, Salah on 3. And then, so, Tierney only has 2, but that's mainly because we've been so wasteful. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. So
I can't with absolute certainty say that, the numbers are the only factor, right? Because, as you can see, with how much Tierney, like how Tierney's so heavily involved, you can see that like the numbers should be better. You know what I mean? They should actually be better. So, with that being said, though, he plays a good ball into Odegaard. Odegaard gets his 2nd goal in 2 games, and we go 1-1 at halftime. So at 1-1, we get to half. I'm already thinking like, oh, we're going to tear them apart second half. in my head, I'm thinking as long as we keep this momentum, I think second half is completely ours. We end up getting some good fortune in the second half. I guess we just might as well go right to it, right? Actually, before then, we actually had another chance. Lacazette had a nice little turn, play and a shot to Loris. So, I don't think he had a terrible game. I think a lot of people said his game was bad outside of what happened after with the penalty, but I don't think he had a bad game. I think he had 1 or 2 chances that were half chances, and then you know, the best chance he had was the penalty, and you know, let's start with that. Pepe, I mean,
what a ball.
First of all, wins the ball and plays a first-time ball into the stride of Lacazette with the left. And when the first touch really wasn't bad, it popped it up in the air a little bit, but a penalty.
I think that happened because of how he whipped that ball.
He whipped it.
But Pepe definitely came on the field, and he played like a man on a mission.
Yeah.
He changed.
I think he definitely changed the game when he came on. I definitely think that. Well, no, he started. So I think he changed the game. You know
who started?
He started, right? Didn't Pepe start?
Nah, remember that's what I'm saying. Soccer.
Oh
came
yeah,
off,
yeah, got it. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. So I definitely think he changed the game when he got on. But a penalty nonetheless, and Lacazette. Who does he have a 100% record on for us?
I wasn't even gonna say for us. I was gonna say like in general, because even when he was at Lyon, he scored like I don't remember him missing a PK when he was at Lyon, but he's just very cold when it comes to to PKs.
Super cool on the spot.
He's definitely cold-blooded, bro. Yep. I'm just like, damn.
Yep. And another goal, another game, another goal, another game, another derby, another goal. I mean, you know,
One,
say what you want about the guy, but he scores in big games. What do you want your striker to do?
Exactly.
Score in big games, right? And we're going to have a conversation about it later on when you know, at the end of the season, when he's about to leave. We're going to have a real discussion about Lacazette. And I implore, I hope we have somebody on it too, that we can discuss this with, because I mean, we'll get there. I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Definitely.
But 2-1, we're sitting good. Then a red card happens. Some reason my match of the day stream just came off, so I can't really go game play by play. But LaMelo gets a red card for a second yellow for a reckless challenge, hand to the face to Kieran Tierney, and they go down. Up. And it seems like the minute they got the red card, I mean, they just turned up, right? I mean, they.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, so man.
I feel like it was terrible. Our fault, though. Yeah, it was our fault, though, more than them.
We definitely played terrible the last 20 minutes. The fact that we had to take off Lacazette and put on Elneny, you know, at home, up one, up a goal, and up a man, and we ended up taking off a striker and putting on a center defensive mid just so we can get in our shell and defend, can show you how bad we are at finishing games. We're terrible at finishing games. And because we're not used to being having the lead for so long, I feel like. So I mean, you know, it is what it is. But Harry Kane gets a chance at the end, hits a free kick off the post. Holy crap. Yeah. I mean, heart and hands moment.
Gabriel, the savior.
And then Gabriel, again. And then the rebound comes. Was it Sissoko or Ndombele?
I think it was Sissoko. No, it was not, bro. I honestly think it was like, I think it was like Sanchez, bro. I think it was their center back, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it was Sissoko or because Ndombele came off. I honestly think it was Sanchez because I forgot who I was talking to, but I said that if that was somebody that was more of an attacker, I think they would have scored that goal because they would have been a lot more calmer and you know, just placed it a little bit better. So if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it was Sanchez.
Could have been. I think so, too. But, yeah, saves us off the line. And then we end up getting the 3 points and a big, big win to Arsenal, to the Arsenal. So we're going to take a quick break. And then we'll get into a man of the match. And then we do the last leg of Olympiacos, which we're not going to spend too much time on because we lost 1-0. And then we get to a quick preview for the West Ham game Sunday. Sounds good.
Yes, sir.
And we are back for part two of SFG Podcast episode 17 with Coach Sick. With this gruffy one, Coach Sick, and of course I'm your host, Lion Zion. So we're just speaking about the North London Derby, the 2-1 victory. Who do you have as your man of the match, sir?
My man of the match. I mean, honestly, it's a tough one, man. I kind of want to give it to Pepe and like how he changed the game, but I'm honestly gonna give it to Tierney, just because he just had a complete game. But I just really like how every time Pepe has come on the field now, he's trying to take his chance every single time, and he's almost trying to force Arteta's hand with making him play him a lot more. So.
Game changing.
I definitely hope he. For sure. I hope he continues to do that. But yeah, man, I think I'm gonna give it to Tierney, just because he, you know, had such a complete game. He got an assist and he was pretty good defensively. So yeah, that's mine. For sure. I'll give it to Tierney for sure.
Yeah, I got Tierney as well. I think one, you know, he pocketed Bale. I think most of the game. That's not an easy thing to do considering he was on form. Helped out with Kane when he could. Helped out with everybody, really. And it just completely dismantled Matt Doherty, who also wasn't really on terrible form. Just, you know.
And he got Bale sub because he wasn't doing
that. Because he wasn't doing a thing. Exactly. That just shows it right there. You know, had him in his pocket. So, yeah, man. Good games all around. From him, and just more performances. Purple patch for him right now. You know, just performance after performance has been really good. So I am definitely gonna give my man of the match to him. So we're gonna go just real quick into into the Olympiacos game, the second leg, because obviously we're up 3-1. For some reason my internet is not working, so I'm gonna pull up the starting 11 on my phone. Definitely some rotating in there, for good reason, as we're up 3-1. But Leno in goal. 4-2-3-1 again. Hector Bellerin, David Luiz, Gabriel Tierney. Elneny started with Xhaka in the double defensive mid, the double pivot role. Pepe on the right, Ceballos in the 10, and Smith Rowe on the left with Aubameyang up top. And obviously, Olympiacos went with a back three because they needed to get the goals. Socrates in the center, Ba and Holbas on the left. Yana and Vila did play in the central mid that day today with Kamara. And then up the front three, El Arabi, who actually scored the goal for Tunis, and Masarias on the right. So again, a game that I think we weren't at our best. Weren't at the races. Aubameyang definitely did look like he was at the races. Probably his poorest game, I think. Maybe all year. Could be. Just didn't look at it. He had chances. He had chances. A couple half chances. And just didn't look good. It was everyone kind of looked like they lost a step. And the 51st minute, you know, we lose the ball high up, of course, get caught out. I forgot who it was. And then an Olympiacos broke and El Arabi one-on-one against David Luiz, which you also don't like to see very often. He takes a shot that deflects off Gabriel and wrong foots Leno, and we're down 1-0 just like that. And then right after that, we had another chance that I think Holbach almost scored, or right before that, actually. And then Partey came off. Partey came in for Elneny, who came off, and then Odegaard came in for Ceballos. And then we had another chance with Pepe came off off of a cross that was deflected out, and it actually hit Emile Smith Rowe in the back. I remember that was like that probably looked like it was going in if it hadn't hit Emile Smith Rowe. But by then, we had a few more chances with Pepe was unlucky for, but and also
that one that hit Smith Rowe was tough, yeah. Man.
Yeah,
I actually wish that went in, and that's another Tierney assist that would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
So like some of those is just the tough, mm-hmm. tough situations that he has to deal with when he puts in great balls like that. Because anyhow, Smith Rowe wasn't there. That's a goal.
Yep.
Like that was on target. Everything about that was screaming goal, goal, goal. So.
Yep. And then you know, with the red card
situation.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. Nah, he good.
I was just saying, Ba with the red card, second yellow for
that was silly.
For a very
silly tackle, and then he threw the ball at the ref. He punched the ref, I guess. Something like that.
Yeah, I think it hit Martinelli too. And then
something like that.
Yeah. Martinelli actually who I think had the best chance in the second half, right? And he was on the left side, and it was Aubameyang, and then he tried to flick the ball at the goal, and
he crossed it into Aubameyang, and he did like the little behind the foot flick, mm-hmm. I guess. Keeper made a pretty good save.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad save at all. And
but Aubameyang had two breakaways.
He had to do better. He had to do better. I know if that's Lacazette again, his face is on the he's on the crucifix. So you gotta score those chances, man. You're a guy.
That's the unfair part about it.
And on top of that, you know, this is a game where you came right off of the suspension or you know, being dropped. So, you know, gotta do what you gotta do.
Which really and truly, I still thought Lacazette should have played. But
me too. But you know, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, we're not the coach. So.
Exactly. So 1-0. But we go in on goal aggregate, thankfully, and you know. Our we ended up getting our next draw, which is Slavia Prague.
They're actually playing good, man. It's on paper, and I guess just the name of the team, should be an easy game for us, but
they're not a bad team though. Can't underestimate.
Knowing us, we like to make things a lot more difficult than it needs to be. So
for sure.
hopefully we're on our game, and we kind of put them away in the first leg. Is there a first leg still in the round of the quarterfinals? Mm-hmm. It's two legs all the way up until the final.
Until the final,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like Champions League. So
I'm just glad.
I mean,
that
hopefully,
we didn't. Good.
I just hope we put them away in the first leg, kind of like how we did Olympiacos, because like you said, Slavia, they're actually playing pretty good now.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad we got them because I didn't want Dynamo. Straight, especially after what they did to Tottenham. Didn't want Villarreal, which maybe if we win, we end up seeing them in the semifinals.
I was going to say, I think we might see them in the semifinals.
Didn't want United, didn't want Ajax.
We might see them in the finals.
Or Ajax. I think it may be Ajax, United in the semis, and us and Villarreal in the semis.
Yeah.
I think it'll end up being that way.
Emery reunion.
Yeah, because, Granada's no easy outfit either. I think Ajax Roma will be a good game. Dynamo Villarreal will be a good game. I mean, I think we got all good games, really.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I agree. To
be honest, so April 8th, mark that on your calendars. We will be facing Slavia Prague. And, I share your sentiments, though. I do hope that we put them away early. And we book our ticket to the semifinals, you know, if anything happened at that point. So, but let's move forward to the West Ham game on Sunday. So Arsenal will be facing West Ham this Sunday. This is a team that is fifth in the table, which is incredible.
Playing really good right now.
42 goals for, 32 goals against, which is actually tied with Leicester City and Man United for I think the third or fourth least amount of goals conceded. Actually, no, I'm lying. We have less goals conceded than West Ham. We're 29.
Yeah.
Less goals, though, too. So goals for as well, 37 to their 42. I mean, this is a game that this is tricky. It's tricky because they're a tricky team, a very, very, very tricky team. And, I mean, they've just won 3 of their 24 Premier League home games against Arsenal in the last 24 games against them. And we're the only team that the Hammers have won as many as 2 more away games, 5, as they have home games, 3 in the Premier League. So, I mean, we've completed the Premier League double over the West Ham on 11 previous occasions, which is more than we have against any other team in the competition. So it looks good, but then again, this is the first time I think in those 11 games I think West Ham has been this high on the table, you know, this late into the season. Yep. So I mean, we know they're danger guys, right? I mean, we know. About, you know, Lingard, Antonio, who just committed to Jamaica. Antonio, to Jamaica. Congratulations to you. Benrahma, baller.
Benrahma.
Yep. Declan Rice, absolute baller. You know, you still got Mark Noble there, who's 80 years old, still playing in the Premier League. Craig Dawson, former player. Arsenal player. Lucas Fabianski, their keeper. Manuel Lanzini. I mean, they've got guys.
Yeah, they got some.
Issa Diop, not a bad defender, 2 on his day. Pablo Fornals was also a guy, a Spanish, who's playing La Liga, I think, for Villarreal. And then they got arguably one of the best left backs in the Premier League in Aaron Creswell. So I think it's interesting. How do you think we're going to play in terms of the 11?
Maya, obviously, Leno. I still got Leno in the goal.
Yeah. What? You don't want to put Matt Ryan in? Get his debut?
I mean, I wonder when he's ever going to play.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing this year. I'm going to be real with you. I don't see Matt Ryan playing until the preseason games coming up next season, buddy. So enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Unless God forbid something happens.
I'm gonna go Leno, Cedric. Then I'm gonna go Holding and Mari. Then I'm gonna go with Tierney on the left. But by the time I finish this lineup, I think I might switch that up and give Tierney a little bit of a break. But you know, I'm just gonna say the lineup I think Arteta's gonna go with. Then I'm gonna go back with Partey and Xhaka. I think we go Pepe on the right, Smith Rowe in the middle. Give Odegaard a little bit of a break. And then Willian on the left, and then Aubameyang back up top.
All right. Interesting. I think I agree with all that. I would start Lacazette because I think that he deserves a start from the way he's been playing.
Yeah, me too, but.
But you want Aubameyang to get back on the saddle, pause, because you want him to get back to scoring ways, right? You want him to, because especially you got a big game, you know, coming up after that. You got Liverpool, and then you have Slavia Prague. So, you know, if he doesn't get on the market against West Ham, you know, it's going to be rough to see. I mean, maybe he does against Liverpool. Everyone seems to be scoring on them nowadays. So, so maybe he does then. But you want him to get back onto scoring ways, right? So maybe you do that. Maybe you give him 65 minutes, and then maybe you take off. You know, or maybe you put him on the left, and then you put Lacazette on if you need to get a goal by then, right? By second half,
yeah. But,
so maybe that's the best option is to play Aubameyang, you know, and then put Lacazette on if we can't, you know, if we need to get a goal or if we're chasing the game by then. But I agree with that lineup. I think that's where we're gonna be. Score predictions.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Arsenal.
2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah.
Goal scorers?
I'm gonna go Aubameyang and Pepe.
Ooh, Aubameyang and Pepe.
Yeah, Aubameyang and Pepe.
Okay, all right, interesting. I'm going to go. I'm gonna go 2-0, Arsenal. I think we're gonna finally get a clean sheet. I think. Only reason why I say that is because not many teams seem to be scoring against West Ham, like, in the recent times. Man United beat them 1-0. They beat Leeds 2-0. City beat them 2-1. They beat Tottenham 2-1. You know, the last three-goal game that's been has been when they beat Sheffield 3-0. And then United beat them 1-0 in the FA Cup. Then they tied Fulham 0-0. So, like, I don't see any team. I haven't seen one team score more than two goals against them. Their back line has been pretty decent in that regard. So I think 2-0 is probable. I think realistically it may be a nil all game, you know, or a 1-1 game. But I'm hoping for 2-0. I'd say 2-0. I say goal scorers are going to be, I think, I'm gonna go Aubameyang and. If Lacazette gets on late, he finishes it. The brace.
Okay.
Not brace.
I like that. Goal, but, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think 2-0 to the Arsenal, two goal scorers. I think we finally get a clean sheet. I think we're close to the clean sheet. You know, like I do think so.
Yeah.
I think we're getting there. I just think it's just a stupid mistake. It's got to cut out stupid mistakes. If we play a mistake-free back line, game against West Ham. I don't think they score. I don't think they offer much, in their forward line. You know, outside of Antonio and Lingard behind. So, you know, we'll see. But some big games coming up after that. We got Liverpool and we have Europa League action. So, let's hope for the best. We appreciate you guys. If you're still listening right now, still with us, appreciate it. Please keep sending in the questions. We'll be doing a question segment, I think we said, once a week or once every other game. And yeah, continue to fight on. We're in the business end of the Premier League and Europa League, and all the tournaments that we're in, all the trophies left to play for. So we hope for the best. We'll continue bringing you guys content, so we appreciate it again. And anything else, Coach Sick?
Nah, man. Just thank you for the continued support, and we'll definitely continue to get the content out to you guys.
Yes, sir.
We'll definitely have a guest on again for you guys in the near future. So be patient with us. If you guys have any other questions, you guys already know. Just write us on the on our Insta, SFG Gooners, or on our email, SFG Gooners 4, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Just thank you guys for the continued support, and we'll definitely keep plugging away at this thing.
Yes, sir. We appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, guys, and we'll be speaking to you soon. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.